So here we are. It's Christmas season. We've got too much eating and too much drinking, too much shopping and too much spending, too much partying, too much traveling, too much talk of so many things in life, too much talking and all of these things. But at the same time, we've got too little smiling, too little laughing, too much partying in the good sense that we had last night, too little caring, too little giving, too little thinking. You know, sometimes we just need to come to church and slow down and go into low gear and think about what it's all about. Too little thinking. Too little listening. We need to open our ears. Too little meditating. You know, wouldn't it be just great if for each one of us we determine, you know, I'm going to pull aside, you know, it's a busy Christmas season, but I'm going to get aside and I'm just going to meditate about what I need to be meditating about. Now, I want to challenge you to do that. One of the points of the sermon this morning, I challenge you in the Lord Jesus Christ not to allow the Christmas season to go by without taking 30 minutes or an hour and pulling aside and thinking about God came in the flesh. He loved you. He paid the ultimate sacrifice, the humility of Christ and what he did. Think about the essential, the needful things, and what it really means when it transfers, it translates in through your life to the life of others. And that's what Christmas is about. You know, jolly old St. Nicholas, he's going there, and it was all about the love of Christ, the love of God, being transferred to us and from us and through us from God to others. And that's Christmas. And we have to refocus because it gets too busy and we do too little thinking and too little meditating. And along with that, too little praying. I want to ask you to make it a point. Because you get so busy, tell the truth now. Who in here is going to raise their hand and say, you know, my prayer life is not really suffering? Okay? Is there someone here that is so bold to venture even this far along in the Christmas season to say, hey, my prayer life is great. I'm just really talking to the Lord a lot, spending a lot of time with Him, and I'm just doing really well. Is there someone here that could raise their hand and say that this morning? I didn't think so. And so I'm challenging you to spend time in prayer. And that means that you're going to have to make a decision. It means that you're going to have to refocus some things and change up some priorities. But it will be a benefit. It'll be a benefit to all of us. So let's encourage one another and grow in the Lord, because ultimately our knowledge of Him and our growth in knowledge of Him will make the difference. Okay, secondly, the value of a gift is determined by the things that we need. And so we're looking at what it means to need certain things. And the realities are that we are often anxious about our needs. And I'm not simply talking about desires that we have or things that we want, but there are things that are needed, things that we actually need. I couldn't help but think, of course, of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 31, it says, "Be anxious for, or do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have not desire of them, but need of all these things." So Matthew gives us a great lesson, and we're told not to lay up for ourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust does corrupt, But we're also, it's mentioned that for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So you got food, you got the picture of the bird there that is fed and watered. God takes care of the bird, so he's going to take care of you. And you got a picture of Solomon. And there's Solomon, the richest man probably that his personal wealth may have been the richest man ever. And he said Solomon, the word says that Solomon was not clothed there. And actually it's in verse 24. He was not clothed in the beauty of the lilies of the field. God is able to take care of his creation is the point. He's able to take care of you. He's able to meet your need, your Heavenly Father. And so don't worry about these things. A lot of times the finances get stretched and pushed, and you disobey Scripture, don't you? Because Scripture's very clear. It says, be anxious. Don't be anxious about these things. Don't worry. Philippians says, be anxious for what? Nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we need. And we need this knowledge of God's Word and this truth of God's Word to permeate us in such a way that we enjoy the peace of God that he intends, that he would love for us to enjoy this Christmas season. So we're often anxious about our needs, but God does not want you anxious. In fact, he says in his word that anxiousness or worry is a sin. Because why? Because it's lack of trust. And faith and trust is what God is interested in his people. So as we trust in his sovereign care, and entrust ourselves to him, we can let our needs go and realize that God is going to take care of us. And that is that. That's his word. That's his promise. Number two, we're often abusive of valuable needs. I enjoyed playing horseshoes with Sandy yesterday. And there we were. You know, we were... We were having a great time. We played doubles with Isaac and Steve there. But Sandy and I, neither one of us could hardly, I got my bad back problems and Sandy's got all his problems with the joint thing, and neither one of us could hardly bend over to pick up the horseshoes. It was sad. Of course, Sandy and I were looking at Isaac over there, and I was remembering the days in college when we were here, brother, and how he got around and moved like that guy, but it was sad, but you know, this is for your benefit, Isaac, and you young guys. I was abusive to my body. I mean, when I played ball, when I played on those concrete courts, I didn't take care. And I didn't take care of my back the way that I should have. I knew how you're supposed to lift certain things, and didn't bother with that. And I'm paying the price now, because there are certain things in life that we're just unfortunately abusive to. I thought I was immortal back then, and Sandy did too. I can tell you that. But we weren't. But don't be abusive for the needs, and the value of the gift means that we enjoy the benefit, and we treat it with thanksgiving and respect. And then thirdly, we're often unaware of genuine needs. That unawareness of needs, God communicates to us. Didn't he? While we were yet sinners, I mean, there we were lost. There we were without hope, when we didn't really know what we needed. God in his mercy came. And I think of how God turned my life around and what a direction that I was headed and how there was a complete loss of sight of what I really needed. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. God knows what you need. And you can pursue. You can lose sight of genuine needs. And you can think that you can find it outside of Him, but you can't. You can't do it. He knows you. And often we become unaware. We lose sight of the real, genuine need that we have. God knows that. He knows what you need. And so pursue it. Pursue what He tells you to pursue. So a valuable gift produces peace that the security of a met need brings. Now, you know, here's Christmas. People that know the Lord, people that have the security of knowing that God is going to feed them. God is going to make sure that they're clothed. He's going to take care of your basic and essential needs and provide you with the things that He decides that you as His children need. People that know that and have those met needs and have that security, they have peace. Have the security that peace brings in knowing that we have a faithful and loving Heavenly Father. So I pray that your heart will be encouraged this morning, that you will set your focus and reflection upon Him. Do you know, He's the one who inhabits eternity, and yet He came to dwell in time. He is the one who created everything, and yet He was born to an insignificant family in an insignificant town, a little town of Bethlehem, to an insignificant people, the Jewish people. He is the one who in majesty rules the universe, and yet He subjected Himself to His parents. He is the one who has provided everything. The Scripture says He created all things. And yet, as a babe, He had to be cared for in His humanity. He is the one who is incomprehensible light, and yet He embodies the body of an infant and became flesh and went through the things that we go through. He is the one who is spirit, and yet He becomes flesh. God, our Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and we celebrate it at this day and this time. Let's contemplate for a few moments here the Word of God. And we want to look at our contemplation, what the Word has to say in regard to the Word on Christ's birth. And let's just look at a few things here. God came in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. God, Emmanuel, the Word, the one who created all things. It was that one who was born of a virgin. And the Scripture tells us, we're taught that He became flesh. In verse 16 of John chapter, or verse 14 of John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The incarnation, God becomes flesh. Scripture says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being translated means God with us. So not only was He, did God become flesh, but the Scripture says He was born of a virgin, that of Mary's seed, the woman's seed. Takes us back to Genesis chapter 3 and the promise of a coming Redeemer, and that the seed of the woman would be the answer, the salvation from our fall, from the separation that we have known with God. We will now enjoy that redemption that comes from the seed of a woman. So born of a virgin, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Matthew tells us the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with a child by the Holy Spirit. So she was born of Jesus was born of a virgin. Mary had not had sexual relationship. The Holy Spirit of God conceived within her. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, wanted to send her away secretly. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, my father's name is Carlton Davis. I was conceived by Carlton Davis. I am the son of Carlton Davis. He is a man, and so I am a son of a man. Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He has the characteristics of God in that sense. Okay, so Jesus Christ is God. He is the Son of God. And we celebrate that. We meditate on these things. We think about the marvel of these things, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. This is what Christmas is about. This is what we celebrate. I want to tell Catherine, Sandy, she got a call. Catherine got a call and said, Santa Claus is going to come and he's going to be with you to distribute the gifts at the hospital tomorrow. It's on Monday, right? A week from Monday. Okay, so Catherine's going to go and Santa Claus is going to go with her. But I want to tell her, Catherine, make sure that the love of Christ came through the people of Christ because we were loved by God. There's an expression of that love of Jesus Christ. It's not about Santa Claus. It's about the love of Christ. And it's great. Those kids will have fun, and I'm not down on Santa Claus at all. I think we ought to have a fun time with Santa Claus. And ultimately, the whole scene behind him is the love and the gift of Christ, and so you can justify it however you want to or do whatever you want to with it, but the focus is here. The Son of God came. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, and he came and dwelt among us. And what we have beheld, what we have seen, is the radiance of God's glory. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. You see, it's not just about God becoming a little baby and this cute baby in the crib. It's about the intention that becoming a servant, he took upon himself the form of man, and as a servant in humility went to the cross of Calvary and there died for your sin. But after that death, he was resurrected from the grave, ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, where he is glorified with the glory that he had with him before the world began, and glorified with the glory that he rightfully receives. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. And so we enjoy and express the radiance of God's glory in the Son, Jesus Christ. These things we celebrate. Now, here's a couple of things for you as we close off this morning. Number one, glory. Glory is your word. And it was for this he called you. Get this passage. Understand what is being said here. He called you through our gospel that you may gain, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's gift to you, the value of his gift, is the glory of Jesus. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. You are his people. You are the children of God. The glory, the beauty of the integrity of Jesus Christ, of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, of the holiness of Jesus Christ, of your very God and Creator is expressed in his people. And God has given to you the glory of Jesus. Live like it. Take it on for the year. By the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit, walk with God. Walk in the glory of God. Walk in the righteousness of God. Walk in the integrity of your Lord. Walk in the way God would be glad and proud of you for walking. Because those are the things that you as God's people have been called to. God's glory transforms us when we behold it. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Do you understand that? God has determined to conform you to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Purpose for saving you. The glory of Christ in the glory of God's people, expressed, delivered, lived through you, transformed, being transformed. That's God's plan for you. It's his purpose. It's the value of the gift. The value of what God has desired to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The value of the glory of God never diminishes in value when we receive it. The value of the glory of God is a wonderful thing. It's the gift to you. Meditate on it this Christmas. Celebrate it and express it, because through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we might spread the message to others of the great love of God, of the wonderful, valuable gift of eternal life that has been given in Jesus Christ, his Son. There may be someone here who's never put their faith in Jesus Christ. It's simply a matter of looking at his claims. Jesus Christ said, he that beholds the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The simple issue is, do you believe Jesus is able to do what he said he would do? Despite your sin, was Jesus able to save you from that sin and bring you into the presence of holy God? Yes, he is. And if you will simply put your trust in him, he will save you at the moment, at that point in time when you trust him. Father in heaven, we give ourselves unto you, and may we know the transforming value of the gift of salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ, of the deep love that he has expressed. And Lord, with the Apostle Paul, I would pray that you might fill your people with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we might be filled with him. We might be able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and of the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, all knowledge, and glory and bask in the glory of the valuable gift which has been given in Christ. We pray and ask these things in his name. Amen.